So this man now sounds like he's doing really well. What would you do if you had disease progression?
So actually, interestingly, just at the last visit, so at Ohio State, we tend to test people every 3 months or whenever we see them to see if they've developed a resistance mutation in BTK. And he just had his first positive test on that. So we actually know that he will become resistant to the drug. No signs of clinical resistance right now. He's feeling great. But in our experience, there's a median of about 9 months between a positive BTK resistance assay and when somebody will relapse. With him, I will probably do something like venetoclax outside of a clinical trial or, you know, preferentially a clinical trial either involving venetoclax or another novel agent.
How would you use venetoclax alone and for what duration?
So usually I'm now giving the venetoclax in combination with rituximab. So the clinical trial that was done in patients after progression, either on ibrutinib or after a period of time off ibrutinib, patients went on to venetoclax alone, and response rate in that patient population was about 65%, and the progression-free survival is about 2 years. And in that study, the venetoclax was given indefinitely. It looks like venetoclax is probably more effective when given with an antibody, so I'll usually give it with rituximab right now, with a planned duration of 2 years for the venetoclax.
Would you be tempted or would you like to use obinutuzumab with venetoclax instead of rituximab in this recurrent situation?
That's a great question, and I don't know. Obinutuzumab might be a little bit more effective than rituximab, but I don't know. We just don't have a lot of data outside of the CLL-11 trial, which compared like clarimbicil, clarimbicil rituximab, clarimbicil obinutuzumab. And it looks from that that obinutuzumab is superior to rituximab. Whether that makes a difference when combined with such an effective drug like venetoclax, I don't know. So I still will do venetoclax rituximab in that situation.
So can you talk a little bit about the data that's out there right now with acalabrutinib and how it compares indirectly? Of course, eventually we'll see a direct comparison, but indirectly it compares to ibrutinib in terms of what's seen, particularly in terms of efficacy parameters.
Mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit difficult to compare for me because the populations tend to be really different on the studies. So I think in general, like the early stage ibrutinib trials have higher risk patients than the early stage acalabrutinib studies. Definitely, though, the two drugs look like they should be equivalently effective. And the acalabrutinib data looks a little bit more positive in the setting of relapse CLL when given as monotherapy. So the progression-free survivals with acalabrutinib are reportedly longer than what was in the ibrutinib studies. But again, it's really difficult, I think, to compare those patient populations.